Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A chilly start out there. Our temperatures just dropped into the mid-30s in the Triangle. I'll show you what changes to bring highs in the 70s this afternoon.
And WRAL is monitoring two late-night fires in Wake County. The breaking news tracker drove to fires in downtown Raleigh and Cary as the calls went out.
Plus, Wake County schools could soon adopt a policy that will create a respectful space for natural hair. We'll explain the Crown Act and how it celebrates natural hair. A lot to tell you about here at 6 o'clock on your Tuesday morning. We are in for a beautiful afternoon weather-wise. Thanks for joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Chris Lovingood in for Jeff Hogan. Basically, it's a copy and paste kind of day from what we experienced yesterday. We've got meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner to get you started before you head out for your commute.
Yeah, it's a nice start out there this morning in terms of clear skies and quiet conditions, but it is chilly. This is a live look at Rocky Mount Mills this morning, looking at 36 degrees in the Triangle area and a lot of 30s showing up on the map this morning. We do have clear skies, so we have the top of the tower lit in blue to signify clear skies this morning. Our coldest spot is 32 right now up in Roxborough, but we're looking at 43 in Southern Pines, 46 in South Hill, 36 in Durham and Raleigh, as well as Goldsboro, Rocky Mount and Wilson. So it's a chilly start. Coats would feel comfortable. Our temperatures in some places are running 3 to 5 degrees colder than yesterday, but like in South Hill, it's 8 degrees warmer. So it just kind of depends on where you are. Our temperatures, even though they'll be chilly this morning, are going to jump all the way to 60 by lunchtime. It'll be a fast warm up as we see our winds shifting to west southwesterly. That's going to bring the warmth in with highs in the low 70s this afternoon. Should be a pretty nice week ahead until we get to the weekend, and that's when we'll have another chance for showers and storms. I'll walk you through it coming up, Brian.
601 Elizabeth, just check with Raleigh 911, and they still have that crash at Lewisburg Road at Calvary Drive is an active call right now. That was a crash reportedly with injuries. They're still working to get that one cleared. Traffic volume is light enough this morning that we're not seeing any delays there on Lewisburg Road around New Hope Road. Just want to move over at least one lane if you see any flashing lights out there at that scene. Around the rest of the Triangle, it's still nice and quiet with no big delays showing up on any of our major routes in Wake, Durham, or Orange County.
I'm Nick Perlin in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker in Cary, where firefighters showed up to this strip mall just after midnight on Meeting Street. Firefighters on the scene tell me a fire started at this tobacco and vapor store in the mall. You can see firefighters in front of the store trying to figure out what caused it. I'm told nobody was hurt and the fire was contained to just the vapor store. We are still trying to find out what led to the fire. In the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, I'm Nick Perlin reporting in Cary.
All right, look at your screens here real quick. This is a look at the response late last night to downtown Raleigh. The call went out around 10 p.m. from South Blunt Street and East Martin Street. Now, authorities have confirmed to WRAL that a fire truck was responding to the scene and involved in a crash just a few blocks away. This fire happened in an apartment building across from Moore Square Park. The video that you're seeing is from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, and it shows a fire truck using a ladder to get to the fourth floor of that building. Our crew there saw people watching the response from inside the building, so it didn't look like they were being evacuated. We are working to learn if anyone was injured.
Today, leaders with Wake County Public Schools will consider a policy that protects people against hair-based discrimination. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live from the Wake County School headquarters. And Kelsey, conversations about this already happening at other school systems in our area.
Yes, Renee, and that conversation is now happening here in Wake County. Wake County school leaders will be meeting here at the district headquarters later today. Their policy committee will talk about putting the Crown Act on the books. The Crown Act stands for Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair. The law applies for discrimination against any person's hairstyle, but hair-based discrimination is an issue specifically for Black women. Durham Public Schools hosts an annual celebration, Crown Act Week, to celebrate Black women's natural hair. Hairstylist Lisa Smile says some of her clients experience discrimination from employers about their hair.
We don't want to lose the integrity of our hair just because we need to look a professional way. So I think with this ad, it's going to empower even more women who have been afraid to wear their natural hair to embrace it.
The policy committee may agree to move this forward to the full board. From there, it would have to be approved in two separate meetings before it becomes policy. That likely won't happen until next month. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Cary.
Thank you, Kelsey. Cumberland County authorities are investigating two reports of sexual assault at Fayetteville Memorial Cemetery. That's on Gillespie Street, if you're familiar. The first was reported last Wednesday. The second case reported this past Sunday, and both victims say they were offered a ride from School Street and the Eastern Boulevard area. They were then instead driven to the cemetery and then assaulted. Authorities say they are looking for a man who was driving, they believe, a Honda CRV, and that is a person who is described as one who has a medium build with a military-style crew cut. He's also possibly driving a Kia Sorento.
This morning, state leaders will work on an initiative to help people return to their communities after being incarcerated. Governor Ray Cooper and council members will take part in the reentry council meeting this morning. Participants will take part in a reentry simulation to show what it's like returning to a community after time in prison. It will be at 9 this morning at the Wake Tech Beltline Education Center in Raleigh.
We're following breaking news this morning. Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry has agreed to resign as gang violence in the island nation's capital gets worse. He made a statement that that announced this just before 1:30 this morning, and he says that he will resign once a transitional presidential council is created. Henry is on U.S. soil, and he's been here since last week. That's because threats back in Haiti forced him to divert course. Haiti is under a state of emergency until April 3rd. And the threat of violent clashes is affecting thousands of people across the island. The head of mission for Doctors Without Borders in Haiti worries about medicines being provided to Haiti.
Our main fear is about the supply. So as there are the ports, as the airports are closed, it's impossible to bring in some medicines. And that's our worry for the moment.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken traveled to Jamaica yesterday to speak about the U.S.'s continued support in humanitarian assistance. And he announced the U.S. will contribute $300 million to the multinational security mission to Haiti.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, three astronauts and a cosmonaut are back on Earth this morning. This is a live look inside the capsule that splashed down about 15 minutes ago near Pensacola, Florida. The crew, seven astronauts, undocked from the International Space Station around 11 o'clock yesterday. They launched to the space station from the Kennedy Space Center on August 26th. The team has spent the last 6 months at the station in low Earth orbit. But again, this morning, they are back down on Earth, splashed down about 5:48 this morning.
Thanks, Michelle. Today, lawmakers in the U.S. House will get a classified briefing on the potential national security threat posed by TikTok. That is ahead of an expected vote tomorrow to possibly prohibit the use of the app in the United States. Now, if the bill goes through, the app's owners will have 5 months to break away from its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. There is concern from both sides of the aisle about the legislation. TikTok says the bill is an attack on users' free speech rights. The ACLU issued a statement saying a ban would violate Americans' First Amendment rights.
Think about this for a moment. Guns kill more young people in the U.S. than any other cause. The statistics are even worse here in North Carolina. Kids are 51% more likely to die from gun violence compared to other states. Our latest WREL doc, Unsafe, North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence, shows the devastating impact of gun violence through one family's tragic loss. 8-year-old Genesis Dockery died 4 days before her 9th birthday. Her family said she was shot by her babysitter's 11-year-old son. Unsafe will also explore a proven solution to stopping these types of tragedies with bipartisan support among lawmakers. You can watch our documentary, Unsafe, North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence, tomorrow night at 7:30 on WREL or WRELdoc.com.
Boeing's whistleblower is dead days after he was giving evidence against the company. Well, we know about the death of John Barnett as he was scheduled to appear in court for the lawsuit. Ken?
Also, Chris, another frightening experience of passengers on board a plane down under. We'll take you inside a LATAM Airlines flight from Australia to New Zealand and hear from passengers who experienced a rather scary incident. And Elizabeth, chilly start to the week, but a nice warm-up ahead.
Yeah, nothing scary about our weather, that's for sure. Perfect pickleball weather for today. It's chilly this morning in the 30s. We climb into the low 70s. We do have some rain for the end of the week. I'll show you when coming up.
As you get into your car, tune to WREL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
6:12. We take a live look at Chapel Hill this morning. Lots of people out and about on a chilly morning. Our temperatures are down in the 30s in a lot of spots. We take a look town by town. It is 46 in South Hill, but 33 in Irwin, 39 in Goldsboro, 36 Rocky Mount. It just jumped to 41 in Lewisburg. So we're looking at anywhere from the low to mid 30s all the way into the low 40s this morning. So it's chilly out there as you're walking the dogs. But with a flow coming out of the west southwest today, we're going to jump to 60 pretty quickly. And this afternoon into the low 70s with lots of sunshine, low humidity. It's going to be one of those just Goldilocks days. We have a lot more of those days in our forecast. We do have the potential for some showers and thunderstorms starting on Friday, and that will affect parts of the weekend. We'll walk through the timeline coming up. Brian?
It is 6:13, Elizabeth. We still have that crash reported on the north side of Raleigh at Lewisburg Road at Calvary Drive. It looks like this is well in the clearing stages at this point, but you still may see some police cars out there. So move over at least one lane to give them some room to work. Elsewhere around the triangle, we have very light traffic volume. Everything moving along nicely in Durham as we take a look at that live picture at I-40 at Fayetteville Road. That eastbound trip right now coming in from 15501 back toward 885, seeing just a 1 minute delay, Chris.
All right, thanks, Brian. The Boeing whistleblower who raised concerns on the company's production standards has been found dead. Authorities say 62-year-old John Burnett died on Saturday from what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound, their words. Burnett worked for Boeing for 32 years until he retired in 2017. He filed a whistleblower complaint against Boeing the same year, and his case was up for trial this June. Well, according to a BBC report, he was giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company days before his death. He was scheduled to appear in court again Saturday, but never showed up.
More trouble in the skies for United Airlines as a flight from Australia to San Francisco was forced to make an emergency landing. The airline issued a statement yesterday saying flight 830 from Sydney's airport to San Francisco had to return to Sydney because of maintenance issues. Officials say the Boeing 777 jet was about 2 hours into the flight when they believe the hydraulic system failed. This is United's fifth reported incident in a week.
And another rough flight for some passengers down under. One day after a turbulent flight from Australia to New Zealand, we are hearing from passengers who experienced the scary moments. WREL's Ken Smith is here with new video from inside the plane. And Ken, we're talking dozens of passengers were injured.
Absolutely. And with so many people, Chris, getting ready to head off on spring break flights, this is a little unsettling to hear. Let's take you right inside that LATAM Airlines plane shortly after passengers say the aircraft just suddenly dropped for a few seconds, tossing people about the cabin. At least 50 of the more than 200 passengers on board that 787 Dreamliner had to be treated for injuries. Some had to go to the hospital when the plane landed safely in Auckland. Four people remain in the hospital this morning. Some passengers described the scene as frightening and chaotic.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, and it felt like, you know, when you are in a roller coaster and you just go like this, that sensation. And then everything flew up, went down, and it was like very shocking.
Yeah, some passengers reported that the pilot said he temporarily lost control of that jet. Well, the airline reported what it called strong movement of the aircraft happened after a technical problem, but hasn't said what that problem was. Well, LATAM Airlines, based in Chile, is now going over flight data recorders to try to figure out exactly what happened. Oh, my goodness. And people, it's still the safest mode of transportation. Don't get me wrong, but these incidents are really beginning to pile up.
You know, it is. And that was a question I had this morning. I'm like, do these situations always happen, or is the press just kind of reporting on them a little more frequently? And then one other thing, because I thought this story sounded familiar. We actually reported on something very similar that happened when a flight was going from Asheville to elsewhere with an Allegiant flight. So, but still, I mean, the fact that all that turbulence led to injuries, it's definitely scary.
Very.
For those folks, strong movement seems like an understatement. The countdown is on for the 2024 presidential election. WREL conducted an exclusive news poll just after the primary last week. 50% of likely voters said they would back Republican Donald Trump, while 45% said they would support Democrat Joe Biden. 5% of voters were undecided, which is low but not surprising since this is a rematch of the 2020 election. We also asked voters if they were satisfied with the choice between Biden and Trump. A majority, 55%, said they wish they had another option. Today, we'll look at more results from our WREL News poll. We'll examine how North Carolinians feel about the age and mental competence of these presidential candidates and how it may affect their vote. That coverage starts at 4 this afternoon.
A University of Missouri student is missing in Nashville, Tennessee. That happened after a spring break trip with his fraternity. Nashville police say the 22-year-old Riley Strain was last seen Friday night in downtown Nashville. He was at a bar with some of his fraternity members when he got kicked out. Well, Nashville police said they checked in with hospitals, checked in with jails, and they did not find him. Police say that Strain's parents drove from Missouri to Nashville to help with this investigation. Here locally, we are getting you started for your day as you head out for your commute with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner. You've got four different cameras kind of painting a picture of what people are looking forward to today. It's pretty calm in the morning.
Yeah, looking forward to for sure. Our temperature is going to climb into the low 70s this afternoon with lots of sunshine. It's going to be just a gorgeous day, low humidity, and the pollen hasn't kicked in too much. Several things about to change. You know, we start to move into more of the spring. It gets a little more humid. It gets polleny. The mosquitoes come out. So these are some of those just perfect days. Goldsboro looking beautiful. So is Apex. Lots of folks out, even though our temperatures are chilly in the mid to upper 30s in the Triangle. I've seen lots of runners out in Apex this morning, walkers too. This is Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course, our newsroom there in Fayetteville. Let's talk a little bit about the weekend. We will see some changes at that point, looking at some late day showers and thunderstorms as our first front comes through on Friday. We're in between systems on Saturday. It looks mainly dry. Just keep checking back for the weekend as we sort of fine tune the time of these two systems. It may be fairly cloudy on Saturday, and then Sunday another system comes through that's going to bring us some rain and potentially some thunderstorms as well. By tomorrow, we start to get some of the high resolution models looking out toward Friday, so a little better chance, a little better idea of sort of the fine features of these systems. Here's that first system right here. That cold front moving in on the West Coast right now arrives here on Friday, so it's got a long way to go to get here. But here's what we're expecting out of it. Some scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, mainly late afternoon into the evening, potential for some severe weather. But really, we have that potential anytime this time of year. March, April, and May are the months that we have the most severe storms of the year. This Friday morning, looking at 6 a.m., everything is nice and quiet. So it's an afternoon-evening system that comes on through. And again, the potential for some scattered storms. Saturday looks dry, hopefully a few breaks in the clouds. This version of Futurecast shows a little bit of light rain late in the day down south. But again, when we get the high-resolution models coming in, we'll be able to see some of those finer features. On Sunday, it looks like it's wet a little bit earlier, so maybe more of an all-day rain for us on Sunday. For Friday, looking at a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, got a 20% chance on Saturday just to kind of cover the bases. But the St. Patrick's Day parade is in downtown Raleigh on Saturday at 10 a.m., and the Grand Marshal is our own Jeff Hogan, and right now it looks pretty good. Partly cloudy, mild, a little breezy, 64 degrees at 10 a.m. as the parade kicks off. Really warm temperatures between now and then. We'll see a high of 73 Saturday, but almost 80 degrees for Thursday and Friday. Sunday for St. Patrick's Day itself looks a little bit wet, 70 degrees. And that hat right there is just for you, Brian.
Well, thank you very much.
It's a little good on
it's
you.
A little small. Yeah. let's take a look at traffic.
Well, we always knew you had a big head. Sorry.
It is 6:20 as we take a look at traffic. And everything's moving along pretty well on our major routes because traffic volume is so light this morning. We are seeing that crash, though, still an active scene there at Lewisburg Road at Calvary Drive on the north side of Raleigh. Look out for some police activity at the scene there. Over in Durham, our major routes are all clear. 885 looking good in both directions. A reminder, as you head out later this morning, you can listen to our live newscast on your way to work or school with breaking news, weather, and traffic alerts at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham.
Brian, thanks. Coming up, Al Pacino left many of us confused after the Oscars. Next in What's Trending, we're finally getting an answer this morning as to why he didn't read all the nominees for Best Picture.
Plus, we have the first winners of this year's NAACP Image Awards. The big winners so far, including Outstanding Male and Female Artist.
Ahead this morning on Today, Jimmy Fallon joins them live ahead of the premiere of season two of his game show, Password.
And here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
This What's Trending report, sponsored by Rug and Home.
So it turns out the next Cadbury Bunny could be from right here in North Carolina.
Brian Schrader here now with What's Trending.
I want you to see Sheldon from Jacksonville. The Rex Rabbit was chosen as a semifinalist for the 2024 Cadbury Bunny tryouts. Voting is live right now on Cadbury USA's Instagram story. It's neck and neck right now, so hop on over and vote for Sheldon.
Sheldon looks the part, I mean, with the bow tie and everything, but the Cadbury Bunny doesn't have to be a bunny in this contest. Last year, a cat won. The year before that, a dog, and then it was a frog. And Vivian, Brian's dog, was hoping to get in on that.
Yeah, but then she would want cream eggs as payment, and, you know, she can't have chocolate, so I didn't want to torture her like that. So.
My vote would have been for Vivian, but maybe let's vote for Sheldon now.
That's right. We'll vote for Sheldon. Vivian says it's okay. Al Pacino is clearing the air after one of the more awkward moments at Sunday night's Oscar Awards. Pacino presented the award for Best Picture, but you remember, instead of listing any of the nominees, he opened the envelope and said, "My eyes see Oppenheimer." Pacino issued a statement saying the producers planned for him to present it that way, and he just followed their directions. But boy, was that awkward.
I mean, you know, people say awkward, and even I said this morning, I thought about it. I'm like, I don't think it was. I thought it was planned, and that makes sense because you had the John Cena situation, you also had John Mulaney, you also had Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. And so to have this in there was to get people talking about it, which, as advertised, we're talking about it right now, this very hour, during What's Trending, right?
At the very least, you got to say, and the Oscar goes to, because I think people are just like, now, are they win? Who's the winner? Do we go up? I don't know.
And the people who are nominated, I guess you could feel jilted a little bit, because it's like, you worked hard, you got a nomination, you didn't even get your name.
And you were the victim of a bit.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Thanks, Brian. We're getting a look at some of the early winners of the 55th annual NAACP Image Awards. Victoria Monet, nominated 6 times, won Outstanding New Artist and Outstanding Album for Jaguar 2. Usher won for Outstanding Male Artist, and the Female Artist Prize went to her. The Color Purple was nominated 16 times and won for Outstanding Soundtrack or Compilation Album. And Queen Latifah will return to host Saturday Night Live broadcast after emceeing the ceremony last year.
We have warm temperatures on the way. Clear skies too. The top of the tower lit this morning in blue for clear skies. I'll show you how warm it becomes until we get to the weekend when we have some showers in the forecast.
Well, we're going to give you a live look at the U.S. Capitol, where today Special Counsel Robert Hur will answer questions about his investigation into President Joe Biden's mishandling of classified documents. What his report said about the president and why Democrats were not happy about it.